Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, could you please take out your hymnal and turn to page 323 and hold that there. I'm going to come back to that here shortly. Page 323. These last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be baptized into Christ? What does it mean to believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? It means we are two things. We are loved and we are sent. We are loved by God sacrificially and selflessly through Jesus, His Son, a love that isn't earned or deserved. It is freely given us by God's grace and mercy. In addition to loved, we are also sent. Sent by God. Sent to love God and serve others selflessly, sacrificially, as we have first been loved and served by God. And who is this God who has loved and sent us? A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about how God, who is our Father, God our Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, God is our creator and designer. We are designed by God to love Him and love others. And that love is described and it is explained in the Ten Commandments. Last Sunday, we talked about God, who is also our Redeemer, our Savior. Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. In Jesus, God entered into our world, a world that is severely messed up and broken by the fact that we have not lived in the manner that God designed for us. We have not lived according to the Ten Commandments. Jesus, God's only Son, our Lord, came into the mess in order to save us from our sins by dying on the cross and rising again from the grave. Today, we look at God, who is the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. When Jesus was on earth, just before he was crucified, he told his disciples that he would be leaving soon. But he also said that he would send his disciples a helper. He said, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, the helper, the comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." This advocate is also known as the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, true God with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is often depicted as a dove, because when Jesus was baptized, the Bible says he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. The Holy Spirit's job is to sanctify us, that is, to make us holy before God. And the Holy Spirit does this work of sanctifying in two ways. He works in us and he works through us. The Holy Spirit works in us by connecting us to God. This is important because connecting to God is not something that you or I can do ourselves. We cannot bring ourselves to faith in Jesus. We cannot make ourselves right before God. Our sin and our selfishness separate us from God, and that sin and that selfishness make us spiritually blind, dead enemies of God. Small Catechism says it this way, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. We cannot overcome our spiritual blindness and deadness, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls us to faith in Jesus, through which we receive the forgiveness and the new life that Jesus won for us on the cross. The Holy Spirit works in us by connecting us to God. And how does the Holy Spirit do this? How does the Holy Spirit establish this connection? Some people, some Christians, expect the Holy Spirit to work only in wild and unexpected ways. They say that you'll know that the Holy Spirit is at work in you because you'll be overwhelmed with emotion. You'll feel the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through you like electricity. But this view turns out to be misleading and unhelpful, because people under that view end up measuring their connection to the Spirit by the level of emotion that they're currently feeling. And if the emotion dissipates or goes away altogether, that must mean that I am no longer connected to God. People end up putting their faith in feelings, in emotions, rather than in Christ. The fact is, the Holy Spirit normally works through very plain and ordinary things. The Holy Spirit works through baptism, which is water with the Word of God, connecting you to Christ. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, connecting you to Christ as you hear and read the good news of Christ's victory over sin and death for you. The Holy Spirit works through the Lord's Supper, connecting you to Christ's forgiveness and strengthening your faith. And so the Lord's Supper and baptism and the Word of God are what we call means of grace. Means of grace. They are the means, they are the instruments by which the Holy Spirit connects you to the good news that Jesus died for you and rose from the grave for you, and that in him you have new and eternal life. In the means of grace, the Holy Spirit is where he promises to be, doing what he promises to do, and his activity is not bound by our feelings or emotions. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just connect you to Christ. He continues working in you so that that connection with Christ grows and becomes stronger throughout your life. Again, we run here into another mistake that Christians commonly make. People think that Christianity is something that you take care of at the beginning of your life. But then once you're grown up, once you're an adult, you leave Christianity behind. You've got more important things to do. So early on, you get baptized, and then you get confirmed, and then after that, for many Christians, you never open a Bible again or darken the doorstep of a church again. It's a dangerous view to take, because faith needs constant nourishment and strengthening. Life out in the world is not going to keep your faith strong. This world, in fact, works actively to weaken your faith and distract your faith. So the Holy Spirit isn't at work only at the beginning of your faith. He continually works in you and on you through the means of grace to keep you strong in faith in Jesus. By these means of grace, the Holy Spirit not only began his good work in you, he continues his good work in you, growing you and strengthening you in your connection to Jesus. All of this is how the Holy Spirit works in you by connecting you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit also works through you. He transforms you from the old sinful you into the new holy you that you are in Christ. He enlightens and empowers you to lead a godly life that gives glory to God and is a blessing to your neighbor. The Holy Spirit works through you as He enables you to live in God's ways, to bear the fruit of the Spirit like love and joy and peace and patience. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we reflect the goodness of God to the world around us. And this goodness is not only good for us, it's also good for our families and our friends and our neighbors. Christians living out their faith by the power of the Holy Spirit are a great blessing to society. The Holy Spirit also works through you as He enables you to be His witness. Every generation asks the question, who is God? And God uses people like you to bring them the answer. God is made known to the world through His people, through you. So, Christian parents teach their children who God is. Christian neighbors share the good news of Jesus with those around them. The Holy Spirit empowers Christians to speak boldly of their hope in Christ. And as we talk about the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, we run into one more mistake that Christians often make when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit. Some people think that if the Holy Spirit is truly, genuinely at work within you, then you will be made so holy that you will rarely sin, or maybe even stop sinning altogether. And then if you do sin, then the Holy Spirit must not be with you. Now, it's true that the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome sin. But the fact is, until we get to heaven, we'll still be sinners. Until the day that you die, you're going to need God's forgiveness every day. Because your old Adam, your old sinful self that you were born with in this world, it's always lurking, it's always reappearing. The old sinful self will not be fully and finally overcome until you get to heaven. So until then, you are both a saint, perfect and holy in God's sight because of what Jesus did for you on the cross, and at the same time, you're still a sinner who turns away from God and rebels against Him on a daily basis. Both of these realities, both of these identities clinging to us at the same time. So, just as it is never a good idea to put your faith in your feelings, it is also not a good idea to put your faith in your goodness, in your lack of sin. If your lack of sin is what your faith is trusting in, then your faith is sure to be disappointed. Instead, when you sin, have faith in Jesus and what He has done for you on the cross. Confess your sin and know that you're forgiven. That is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in you. So, to summarize, in your hymnal, page 323, the explanation that Martin Luther gave us in the Small Catechism for the third article of the Apostles' Creed, and this is the part of the Creed that talks about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit and what does He do? Look where it says, under the third article, it says, what does this mean? Could you please read this with me all the way to the bottom of that column? What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.